There's been a rash of anti-Semitic threats and attacks this year in America. In the last few weeks, three different Jewish cemeteries have been vandalized. Scores of Jewish community centers have received threatening calls. And just yesterday, a former journalist was arrested for allegedly making a series of threats against several Jewish organizations. At one point, he was an intern at one of our member stations. Jeffrey Goldberg is editor-in-chief of The Atlantic, and he joins us now in our studios. Jeff, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Do you believe anti-Semitism is on the rise or just more visible?
I think it's on social media, I think it's on the rise. We certainly saw that during the campaign, the run-up to the campaign, particularly on Twitter, particularly on people associated with the Donald Trump campaign. That said, statistically, it's actually been falling for the last 10 years. We might be in a bit of a resurgence, but I don't see us in a crisis right now in terms of the number of anti-Semitic events. I think the visibility is very high for a number of reasons.
What do you make of the social media platforms? Last summer, you wrote about what you called Nazi trolls on Twitter.
Yeah.
As we are standing here, I know we are both going to get some anti-Semitic tweets. I get about a dozen a week.
Oh, a dozen?
Yeah.
I could send you some of mine if you're feeling low.
I'm only half as Jewish as you are, so I get fewer, I'm sure. But what do you make of this?
The bar is extraordinarily low, or has been extraordinarily low to entry into the prejudice sweepstakes on social media. It used to be if you wanted to express prejudice, you'd have to go outside and hold a sign up. You would have to write long letters to people. Now you just tap it out an anonymous Twitter account, and so the barriers to entry are lower. I think the whole discourse in our country has changed. It's become coarsened. I think there's much more dog whistling going on all sides about a lot of different issues, and the dog whistling done by politicians leads to people overinterpreting or interpreting correctly what they should be doing in terms of expression of prejudice. You know, there's a corollary here to the rise of Obama. We thought Obama becomes president, or some people thought that marks the end of racism. You don't really mark the end of racism, and you don't really mark the end of anti-Semitism, and these things come in waves. And I think we're in a period now where we might be seeing an uptick.
And do you tie this to the political rise of Donald Trump?
Well, this is what's happening. What's happening right now is that people are making that argument. Right. I think if you actually look at over the last 10 years, you look at the history of anti-Semitism, there were serious events over the past several years. There was a fatal attack in Seattle on a Jewish Federation center. There was an attack on the Holocaust Museum. Remember, a security guard was murdered at the Holocaust Museum. These things happened before Donald Trump, and they happened from there's two main streams of anti-Semitism, obviously. One is from the neo-Nazi right, or something along those lines. The other is Muslim extremists. These incidents over the past 10 years have been committed by people from both sides of that. What happened right now, I think, is because of a certain narrative that's developed around Donald Trump, people are saying this is the cause of these incidents. And I just think that might be a little bit premature, a little bit oversimplistic. We've had serious incidents of anti-Semitism in this country for years and years and years. They did not start on January 20th.
Many African Americans say that they feel scared and threatened. Many Muslims have told our reporters and yours that they feel scared. Many immigrants feel targeted, but it doesn't sound like you believe anti-Semitism is at the same pitch.
I have a problem in the sense that I've spent the last few years tracking anti-Semitism in Europe, where there are regular, really terrible kinds of attacks on Jewish communities. And so I'm comparing in my own mind, I think, what's happening here to what's happening there. Relatively powerless Jewish communities in Europe versus a relatively powerful Jewish community here with political access and all of that, size. I'm prone to argue against panic and hyperbole because these things are so dangerous and you can make them worse and make the reaction worse by sort of overreacting. That said, I don't want to discount the fear. I don't have a kid right now in a Jewish community center, kindergarten or nursery school. If I did, and one of these places is one of these places that's being targeted with these phone call threats, I might feel a little bit differently. I don't think we're quite at the level that some people are arguing. And I think, by the way, some people are arguing that it's a crisis moment, and they're arguing this out of opportunistic political reasons. And that's the problem, that anti-Semitism becomes this political football. If it's a right-wing government in power in America, they blame the right and vice versa. And so I just want to maintain my own composure on this, and I think other people should maintain their composure as well.
Jeffrey Goldberg, editor-in-chief of The Atlantic Media, thanks so much for being with us. Good to talk to you again.
Thanks.